Francine came to me this morning and said she was speaking to a friend of hers, or someone she knows, and she said, how are you doing? And she said, excellent. And she was like, oh. Because what do we normally say? We're good. And now we went from fine and good to excellent. And you know what? It takes a little bit of a change in thinking to accept that we are excellent. And so this morning I'm very excited to start our new series, What is So Amazing About Grace? We talk about it, we think about it, we sing about it, but what is so amazing about grace? You know, turn in your Bibles to the book of John. So while I'm talking, you can get there. The book of John. History has shown us that there have been many movements going back to a couple of 100,000 years ago. And there have been movements and there have been things what I call awakenings. And there have been awakenings. And if you've looked throughout the earth, there's been a greater awakening in grace. And the point is that if we don't understand what that means, we don't understand what God's grace is to us, it is foundational in everything that we live and we do and we have our being. And you know, well, is Jesus finished? Well, that series is finished, but Jesus is never finished. And what are we going to preach on today? We're going to preach on Jesus. Because Jesus is grace. Jesus is the one who made this all possible for us. Jesus is the one. And as we went and we looked at, I mean, if we were honest, we could carry on. I know we did 13 weeks of it. We could do 313 weeks on Jesus. Because it is never ending. And we need to understand though, when we come and we look at what is grace, and of course when we look at grace, and I've seen it, and I've watched people preach it, and I've listened to them, and I've seen people react to it, and we go, like every other awakening, we go from conservatism and what I like to call licentiousness. And sometimes we just miss everything else in between. And so this morning, what I want to do, I've got a big, thick paintbrush this wide this morning, and I want to take a paintbrush and I want to give you a broad overview. And then as the weeks go, we're going to drill down a little bit, and we're going to drill down, and we're going to drill down, and we're going to drill down. And some of the stuff I'm going to preach, you might not like. Or one of the other pastors come and preach, you might not like. Because why? Because a lot of the time we are stuck in law and legalism. And mostly the reason is that was because the very first time you came to give your life, to surrender your life, as we call this place of death. No, we don't call it that. We call it the altar. But I hope by now you understand me and know that I don't ever want us to throw our brains away, check them at the door. That we want to be thinking about what we are preaching about, what we believe in. Bridget and I went and ministered in Barbados. And we sat down and they were saying, oh, we've got all these 60 people saved. And they said, so when are you going to baptize them? Oh, we don't believe in baptism. And we were like, what? And then we had to explain to them from the scripture why we get baptized. And I want to challenge your thinking. What is so amazing about grace? Because when you came to this place of death, and you gave your life to Jesus and you repented of your sins, the first person you turned around and saw, they didn't high-five you. They didn't say, well done, welcome into the family of God. You can go and live a life of abundance now. Yeah, Jesus died and He rose again and you're so excited. They said, okay, now you cannot go to pubs and you cannot do this. You mustn't do that. You mustn't do that. And you must read your Bible every day and you must pray every day. And they took you from liberation straight back into law. Man, I've only been preaching for 5 minutes and it's quiet in here. Now, well, then you need to let me know. Because some of that stuff is good. But when you come with the law, you just go back into legalism. And then we think from a place of legalism. well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do the other. And you know what the answer is? It's not that you have to, it's that you would want to. You know, on the family camp, Greg said this. He said, we don't function for favor, we function from favor. And to some of you, that sounds a very cute saying. But I want you to meditate on that. Why is it that we don't function for favor? Why is it that we function from favor? That's what we should be asking. Okay, let's go to John chapter 1. I hope I haven't lost too many people too quickly. Broad brushstroke today, remember that, okay? What is so amazing about grace? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love this scripture, verse 16 and 17. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Some scriptures, some of your readings will say, and Jesus brings grace and truth. I think in the NASB it says, and grace was realized. And Jesus brought and realized, grace was realized. Grace and truth was realized. And we have to understand that here Moses went up the mountain, was given the law, went down to the people, gave the tablet. Oh no, he broke them because he got mad with them, had to go back up the mountain, got some more, came back down and gave it to them. And introduced and gave them law. And right at the end you will see something that happened the minute they got law. But what happened then, Jesus came in the new covenant, and we've been preparing your hearts for this message for a long time, because for the last year and a half, 2 years, we've been talking Old Covenant, New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. And it doesn't mean we throw away Old Testament now. Please don't. I never ever said that. Don't think that. We believe in a full Bible theology. We're a New Testament people. We're an apostolic prophetic people. We are Word and Spirit people. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. I want you to be like the Bereans who examined the scripture daily to see if things were so. Often grace has been reduced simply to a doctrine or a thought or a lifestyle, and they miss the connecting thing that we see in the song that we, you know what? I was just thinking that we could say, maybe I shouldn't preach. Maybe we should just sing the song for like the next 2 hours. That this word would wash over us. That we would get it into our spirit person. And that we would, see, that was politically correct. Spirit man, woman, come on, person, stay with me. And that we would understand the grace of God in our lives. It's not by works you've been saved, it's by grace. I'll keep running ahead of myself. Often when we reduce it, what we end up doing is we're playing Monopoly with grace. With the work of the cross. And we start actually making things work for us accordingly to what we think it should be. You noticed I said we and not you. Often we see this. When we go from that, we started off grace. And then we lose our brains because, well, I think I understand grace now because I'm under grace. And I've said this so many times before. When someone says to me, we're not under law, we're under grace. If you're saying that as a statement of fact and truth, then you're right. But if you're saying it as an argument for your behavior, you don't understand grace. You understand law, because now I feel I have my little boundaries, my little fence around me, and these are my boundaries. And I've been thinking, you know, we often... I don't have time for all of this. Come on. We've got weeks to get through this stuff. No, if the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this, then let's do it. Do you remember that we've talked, or maybe you've read or understand the thing, they took some sheep they put them in a field, and there were no boundaries in the field. And what did the sheep do? They all congregated in one little corner of the field. There were no fences. They just congregated in one corner. Then they took the sheep and put them in another field, but they had boundaries around them. You know what the sheep did? They all just wandered all over the place. They felt safe. Then they took people and put them in the first field, and people, you know what the people did? They gathered all together in the one little place. And then they took them and put them in, this is a scientific study that took place. Then they took them and they put them in the same pen field, you know what the people did? They walked around. When we come under grace, we have to understand that God, our Father, through our Son Jesus Christ, has given us. And I mean, setting me free, I had to shout out, make me free. Because He made me free. And then I don't need the boundaries. Please hear and don't hear what I'm not saying. We don't need the boundaries of law. Because we function in His grace and through His grace and for His grace and by His grace. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Saved by grace, it doesn't mean it ends there. Grace till the end, we sang it here, grace through in everything till the end. Amazing that I asked them to sing that song, so it's not like by osmosis and that had happened today. But when we have no grace and we just stop it, say, well, I'm saved by grace, now that's it. And we don't understand that grace continues and grace takes us through and grace empowers us and grace helps us. We have no joy as Christians. We have no, salvation was a thing that just happened and I don't really understand it, but I know I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven one day. When we have a legalistic church, we have a weak church. Can I say that again? When we have a legalistic church, we have a weak church. Because we don't understand the freedom that we have been given. The liberty, the liberation from our sin, from the shackles. Remember when we did this, the power of the blood of Jesus or the power of the cross, I can't remember which. And we are shackled, we are redeemed, and Jesus came and broke that off for us. He bought us at a price off the slave block. We belong to Him. Grace is all in all. Grace is the beginning. Grace is in the middle. Grace is the end. If I had to illustrate it for you, a very simple one. If you took a loaf of bread, you know, we always give it, you know, well, you have a loaf of bread and this one and this one and then in the meat in the middle and all that. That's not grace. If grace was the crust at the end of here and grace was the crust at the end here, all the bread in between is also grace. It's all about grace. In grace, by grace, through grace, for grace, up grace, down grace. Oh yeah. So what is so amazing about grace? What is grace? Grace is the reality of God's continued acceptance and love for us, which is not dependent on our failures and successes. God loves you. God accepts you because you accepted His Son. And that's enough for us. It is. But it is true. And we have to stop thinking about what if I mess up? What about, and we're going to talk a little bit about receiving and achieving. What are you saying, Malcolm? You mean God just loves me even when I behave badly? Yeah. Even if I mess up? Yeah. And if I'm successful and I think I'm so wonderful, yeah. But there's also another point to that one. Grace is God's will to continually bless us, not based on our performance, but based on Jesus' performance on our behalf. What did Jesus do for us on the cross? You know how Jesus died and the blood covers our sin. It's because of the blood sacrifice, and the redemption, and all, you know about that stuff? And then we as Christians, we go and we pray when we're in trouble. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. It's a wasteful prayer. Why? Jesus' blood already covers you. You don't have to pray that prayer. You have to know that because of His blood, I am saved. Because of the blood over me, I walk in this freedom because of this covenant that was cut. I'm part of this covenant now. It's a, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's a redundant prayer. It's not necessary. But we think we receive so much power when we pray it. I know, and I can see some of you really, sheesh, Mark. I've always prayed that prayer. That's okay. Just stop. Change your thinking. Why? Because Amanda came up and had a word. He said, because of his love for us, what was the word love? Yeah. We are his righteousness. Yeah. When I say to you, who of you think you're holy here? Raise your hands up. I'm serious. It's not a... I know, I can see some of you. Come on. You are children of the Most High King. You are a holy, royal priesthood. Why would you not raise your hand? Mark, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this stuff this morning. Grace is redemptive. Grace redeems us. It rescues us. It makes us safe from rejection and insecurity and demonic drive to perform. I know what I'm talking about because I had to realize, come to a point in my life, and I'm going to talk about work and hard work, and I just want to cover this with, it's a good thing to work hard. It's not a bad thing. But if you feel driven in any form, it's not Jesus. Satan drives. Jesus leads. And I had to get a point in my life when I realized, I'm driven. I'm driver, driver, driver. And for us A-type personalities, that's an issue. And if you're an A-type personality, learn to go, I rest in Jesus. I find my peace in Jesus. Jesus is Lord of my Sabbath. He is the Sabbath rest for me. What else is grace? Grace redeems us from the never-ending vortex of the death of anxiety to achieve acceptance by keeping laws and regulations. That's a big mouthful. But what it actually, what I'm really saying is that we have this vortex of anxiety. Are you always anxious about stuff? Or do you know how to go, it's all in Jesus' hands. Because we need to achieve acceptance. Well, if I don't do this, then my family's not going to think highly of me. If I don't do this, my mother won't love me enough. My father won't love me enough. My wife will think I'm lazy. My husband will think I'm lazy. I'm anxious. I have to achieve this thing. I have to make this goal. You place laws and regulations upon yourself. Come on, guys, this is good news. Everywhere I've been, I told them, in our church, our people have learned to say amen and hallelujah and get excited and jump up and wave and run around. Grace means that God's discipline, correction, and rebuke do not involve the withdrawal of His love, but rather is proof of His love for us. God, I feel like God's disciplining me. Oh no, God regularly disciplines me. I'm being honest with you. My boy stopped thinking like that. My boy stopped behaving like that. My boy, that's not true. It's a lie of the enemy. Why? Because I've fabricated in my head the enemy's playground where he likes to get inside and run around inside here. And we, I know that must be, it sounds good. Yeah, I know that must be right. We say so much stuff that must be right. And it's not. It's not even Bible. I only do this if the Holy Spirit tells me to do it. If it's against the law, if it's against the Word of God, that's super spirituality. It's ridiculous. It's heresy. If it's in the Bible, then it's good. If it's not in the Bible, don't put it there. Grace delivers us from the monkey on our back of self-effort and the lie of a self-made person. Well, you don't understand. I did this all myself. I think you should go and read Deuteronomy 8:18, I think it is. Because God gives us our gifts. God gives us our talents. God gives us the ability. If he has given you in business the ability to make, to perform and to make, bring wealth about, God did it for you. You didn't do it by yourself. Because he gave us all that stuff. He gave these guys this talent up on the stage here. And they all acknowledge that. Well, you know, I used to practice 7 hours a day, so it's all by my effort. Well, we need to practice. Grace is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. We cannot do anything for God. What do you mean, Mark? Aren't you doing what you do for God? Yeah, I am. We all do it. But in actual fact, it's not for my self-approval or my self-effort or my self-righteousness. Grace means that God has done it all. Jesus paid it all. I think I should write a song like that. Grace turns disappointments into Kairos moments in God. Our failures become stepping stones. God's beating me. You know, there's two people we like to blame for everything. And none of them are ourselves. It's either the God or the devil. I shouldn't even mention this, but we had a famous cricket player who's the captain of the cricket team in South Africa, Hansie Cronier. And he got caught up in gambling and fixing games, which is terrible. And at his trial, and he was a Christian, he broke down and cried and said, "The devil made me do it." I was like, dude, stand up and say, "I was greedy. I wanted money. So that's why I did it." Don't blame the devil. Devil can't make you do anything you do not want to do. The devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do. I'm so excited. What is grace? Grace releases the darling of heaven into our life. Grace brings life and executes the oppression of people's opinions. Do I need to explain? Grace releases the darling of heaven, Jesus, into our lives. He brings life abundantly and more abundantly. And grace kills the oppression of people's opinions over your life. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. My mother used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Grace brings to naught Satan's accusations and evaporates guilt and regret. You know, he is the one going around seeking whom. He is the one who's going before the Father and say, look what he did. Look how she's behaving. Look what they said. Look how they behaved. Look how they did this. And Jesus stands in between, our advocate, between us and the Father. And he just stands there. And I think he's probably like quite cool about it, you know. And he's like, the Father says, "Is that true about Michael?" He says, "Forgiven, Dad." "Oh, okay." Some poetic license here. "Do you know that Chris did this and this and this and this?" The Father says, "Did he?" Jesus says, "Forgiven." It's a lie. He actually didn't. The accuser before the brethren, the father of lies. He lies about you. And when he comes and he gets inside your head and says stuff about you, you go, remember the first thing, he's a liar. Anything he's saying to you, he's lying. He's not very smart. He started in the Garden of Eden with the same thing. Did God really say? Thousands of years later, he's saying to you, did God really say? He's like the same line for thousands of years. He doesn't know anything more. That's all he can do, accuse. But grace brings to naught his accusations and evaporates again. And we get, oh, I can't go to church and face the people because I'm feeling so bad about myself. Man, that's like saying, in my case, I went home and I can't go and talk to Bridget and Louise. They're my family. Where am I going to go? And in my case, I got the, now we were the three amigos, we're now the awesome foursome. I got these other three guys to go to and say, I messed up, guys, help me out. Grace redeems us from the curse, makes us free to be the men and women God created and meant us to be, joyous, enthusiastic, kind, loving, patient, good, faithful, gentle, and full of self-control. Grace is foundational in knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. We're going to drill down. Because when we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus, we are susceptible to the lies of the enemy and the law that he wants to place on us. Because he wants us to be in that bondage. He doesn't want us to be liberated. He doesn't want us to be joyful. Speak to Bridget. She'll tell you the first thing that goes with her when she's out of sync is her joy. A little bit of self-help from the Elwood family here. If Bridget and I are fighting, yeah, we do. That's true. I'm afraid so. Yep. Here we go. Ask Louise. When we fight, Bridget's joy goes and she cannot rest. I have the ability to be like Japanese. I can compartmentalize things and I can put it in and I can carry on with life. Bridget is paralyzed. The Bible says if you have aught against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go make right with him. Sort of scriptural. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not going to finish what I have in 15 minutes. No, it's just way too much. So what I'm going to do today, let's just leave it there. I'll ask the muses to come back up. If we can do that, I see grace again. And I want you to just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And if you need some prayer, come up to the front, we'll minister. But if you want to, if you feel you're in a place that, wow, Mark, you've been speaking to me this morning, please, this is not like, oh, you're under law, you better come and repent. That's legalistic in its own right. But what I want to say to you this morning, if some of this has spoken to your heart this morning, if something has touched your heart this morning and you're saying, I want a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of God's love and His grace for me. And I said I'd tell you what I wanted to say about the day that the law came. So I'm just going to finish with this. Give you something to chew on. If you haven't had enough. The covenant with Abraham, which we are still recipients of today, was a covenant of grace. Because up until when the law was given, no one was killed, no one starved, they were blessed. Abraham at one time went in, lied about his sister. The Pharaoh said, you better get out of here. Doesn't mean under grace you get to lie. Hope I have to don't stop and explain all this stuff all the time. But they were given wealth and they left more wealthy than they went in. They were under God's grace. And then he went up the mountain and spent 40 days and 40 nights with God. Time of testing, number of 40. And then what happened is he came down the mountain and they had been misbehaving, broke the tablets, went back up again. He now had to chisel them out and make them himself. Went up the mountain, came back down again, And by this time, they lost hope. They forgot the grace of God and their lives and all this time they'd had in the desert. So what did they do? They made a graven image unto themselves, a golden calf. The day the law was brought to them, the day law was given to them. And Moses gives us law, 3,000 people died. If you go and read the book of Deuteronomy, and he says, and it goes through chapter after chapter, and this will happen to you, and this will this, and this is the law of this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and the people all went. They should have said, no thank you. We already have a nice covenant with you, Lord. We will obey, we'll look after, we'll keep this grace covenant you've given us. And they went, we want all this law because there's a fence. Now we can be free in our fence, in our law, in our legalism. And in the book of Acts, Jesus comes, and Jesus, through the Gospels, and they cut a new covenant, covenant of grace, gospel of the good news, gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of grace. They cut a new covenant, or they reenact the covenant that they'd disobeyed and said, now let that one slide. But Abraham's covenant was an eternal covenant. So it never went away. It wasn't to replace. And what does it say? After Abraham's covenant, 430 years later, they were given the law. And what happens is the day the covenant is reenacted, 3,000 people join the church. God's grace is boundless. Let's just stand together as we worship and sing the song together. And if you just want to stand there and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a deeper understanding of your grace and your love for me, so be it. If you want to come up for prayer, we want to minister to you. We want to love on you. I want to just say to you again, if at all possible, I encourage you not to miss over the next couple of months or so, weeks or so, because we're going to teach a body of truth, not just a one-off thing. And you might hear something, miss 2 weeks and come back and say, oh, but that doesn't really line up, that you've missed stuff in between. Or if you can't be here, if you're on vacation, whatever the case may be, I encourage you, go online and listen to the messages. This is a body of truth, and we want to help ourselves to understand more the deeper things of God's grace in our lives.